on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? We are back in the Tampa Bay area after a crazy five and a half day trip last week.
Crazy.
What up, Chuckles?
Ending with Ray Flores being seen in person.
All right, I want to start the show a different way.
All right.
We had the opportunity twice for me, once for you, to be in Omaha, Nebraska. And I know that I've talked about it, I've Facebooked about it, I've YouTubed about it. And I want to do it to start this show as well. On Friday, I flew to Omaha on Wednesday to do the radio show.
You did.
Flew back on Thursday to cover the Bucks-Cowboys game.
You did that.
Flew back to Omaha Friday morning.
You must be tired.
And, well, we'll get to the tired part. I'll never be tired again because of where I'm going. So you and the rest of the circus act picks us up at the airport. It's Steve and I and the three of you clowns pick us up. And you start to tell me about what's right outside the airport.
Yeah.
And as we leave the airport, there's a, what would you say the dimension of that American flag was?
Oh,
I mean, it's like the flag that hung at 9/11.
Yeah, it's like 100 foot by 50 maybe. Or.
So you tell me that one of the Marines was being brought back to Omaha. He's from Omaha, and that's Corporal Page, 23 years old. One of the 13 murdered in Afghanistan last month now. It's time certainly does fly. So as we're driving out, there was that really strange-looking guy, and he had that big American flag. And I rolled down the window, and I don't even remember who it was, whether it was me or one of you chuckles, asked what time is the procession.
Yeah.
And he said 1:30. And I want to say this was like at 11. So we went, and we're going to talk about where we went in a minute. But we went, we grabbed something to eat, we came back. And I got to be honest with you, it was a moving, you know, we stood there and, you know, you guys across the street and played little silly games underneath the oak tree there. I was watching. I'm surprised you didn't put people on the back of the GNAT.
It wasn't the time or place for that.
Well, it never is, but it never has stopped you in the past.
And those are bees that were attacking us and we were trying to get away.
But I don't even remember what time it was. And, you know, we all were in the middle of the median when about six cars went by. It wasn't, you know, a couple motorcycles, two or three hearses, and then two big vans. I don't even know what to call them. But it was emotional. And what I hope doesn't happen is when you get a speeding ticket, when I get a speeding ticket, what's the first thing we say? Oh, we'll never speed again.
Yeah.
And that lasts about a minute and a half as you speed away.
Right. You're like, oh, he's not going to catch me now.
Right, exactly.
Got a head start.
you know, we all think we have these issues and problems and, you know, whatever it is. And it is an issue and it is a problem. And there are a lot of big things. A 23-year-old young man was driven by me whose life is over.
For sure.
Kind of puts into perspective, you know, you don't like somebody and you don't talk to somebody and, you know, somebody, you know, sends these derogatory things. Who cares? That's why more people should be like me. Because I don't care.
So you're going to be nice to the bankers and the people and the
telemarketers? If they're nice to me. And then we go to, I don't want to, you know, just jump into comedy.
Let's back up for 1 second.
That's why I said I don't want to jump into comedy yet.
So I think as people, we all realize that anyone who signs up to the military, they sign up to offer everything up to.
And I don't remember
everything,
that. I don't remember
including
that.
Including their life.
I don't remember
but
that.
But that's what it is.
I understand
But that's what it is. And to actually see it in person, we actually saw that life that was given for that cause.
Right.
And I had a talk today with a friend of mine who's a military, has been in Afghanistan multiple times. He actually said that these 13 that lost their life was actually a good thing for awareness, because this has been happening for 20 years and no one talks about
it. Sure.
And that this was such a global event that everybody is now paying attention, and he hopes that it makes it to where it's not forgotten, like you said.
Unfortunately, it will be forgotten. And of course, there have been incidences day in and day out.
Right.
You know, and I agree that these 13, it isn't any worse than all the others that have, you know, lost their lives or lost their sanity. You know, we were talking about whatever those letters are, PSLMNOD. What is it? PS?
PTSD.
PTSD. I think I have it, and I haven't been in a war. But I was in those dark rooms at midnight tracking, you know. But no, you're right, and there have been plenty that have lost their lives. So here I'm saying about being the kinder, gentler. Saturday morning, we get on another plane, and we fly to Miami.
We did.
We go to a sushi brunch, a Chinese sushi brunch with eggs and pancakes.
It was odd.
It was strange.
It was odd.
And then we go to the fight, and there was a little bit of protest going on there as your former president was there. And I don't know if you heard me say this, because I said it to you. I'm not going to say what I call our friend that was sitting to our left, because I can't pronounce his name.
Forgiato Blow.
Okay. Who went to school with my kids.
Right. Is from St. Pete. Went to Admiral Farragut.
Right.
Big-time rapper.
I've known him. I've known of him for a long, long time. But I knew that there was going to be people sitting during the national anthem, which there wasn't. The people that I thought were going to sit during the national anthem didn't. They sat during the 9/11 10 bells. That's when I turned to you. I don't know if you heard me say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sir. I saw you.
And said, I'm about to get in a fight.
No, I was going to protect you. I wasn't going to let you get beat up at the fight.
I truly wasn't worried.
I mean, you and Evander probably
I had LL Cool to my left, so it was all good.
But yeah, I mean, but you know what? In all fairness, to play devil's advocate, I mean, they were
too stupid to know.
But
no, that's what you're saying.
But like, when you hear the national anthem, you know, you take your hat off, which I reminded you of.
Because I was ready to kill four people.
And put your hand over your heart. And it's ingrained in you as a child going up through school systems and just through society.
If you don't know when they say we're going to do the 10 bell salute, there's something wrong. I mean, it's been in everything.
But I don't know if it's a standard. There's a protocol for 10 bells. I don't know if you stand, sit, you pray, you close your eyes.
You stand.
Do you remove your hat? You know, I mean, that's all the same thing?
Yes.
Well, see, I don't know those things.
Well, because you're with those four knuckleheads.
I stood the whole time, for the record. And I had my hand over my heart.
I had my hand ready to throw down.
You did. You were like...
I was fuming. I was fuming. I was so mad.
You could have gone...
Kind of going back to the day before with the return, you know, of Marine Corporal Page, these people died doing nothing but working. And that it was a 9/11 memorial for everyone.
Yeah.
If you have a problem, and I don't know what's worse, you had a problem or you're too damn stupid to stand. That's all.
Well, they couldn't have sat if they would have been at the BKFC 21 event where they sectioned off 13 chairs with American flags draped on them in significance of the 13 military that lost their life.
Only have a couple minutes before our first break, and then we'll head out to Las Vegas as we get ready for Fight Night 192. Spectacular BKFC 21.
That was pretty crazy.
Spectacular. Controversy, which we will discuss over the next hour and a half.
All fights ended in TKO or knockout.
I have said that the Lopez Beltran fight was the best fight in the history of bare knuckle.
Okay.
It's not.
The Richmond,
Dakota. The Richmond fight was.
And you know what's fascinating about this fight week was there were body shots that ended fights. There were rib shots. There was, like, it's not just two guys just swinging for the fences.
It's turning to what it's supposed to
be. It's turning into a skilled technical battle.
Right.
And it made boxing in Miami look so slow and so boring.
Well, hold on. It was Evander Holyfield.
The GOAT?
It was Evander Holyfield. So you're saying it made boxing look slow. No, Evander Holyfield made it look slow.
He's 58 years old.
He fell in slow motion. He swung so hard, he tripped himself, which was ruled a slip. So at least they didn't. I want to know, because after the Tito Ortiz-Anderson Silva fight, I said, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Because we drove home.
We did.
All three of us sleeping at the same time, no matter who was driving, whether it was you or Steve. Don't you wish we left that 20 minutes earlier?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I wanted to stay for the after parties. All the celebrities are out. Henry Cejudo, my Uber fare driver from Atlanta was there.
Who had no idea who you were?
He didn't remember. but I don't have my red mohawk anymore. All right. Okay. I've given up my identity to be a professional.
Wow. Okay. Let's go hit our first break. I'm turning you off. Let's go take our first break, coming to you from the dungeon today here in the Tampa Bay market. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Joel Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales, Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out every year. Make sure you purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the dungeon today as we're back from last week's Omaha. Next week I'll be in Vegas for International Fight Week. Big ups before we go to our first guest. I want to say a big ups to Brandon Lewis. He wasn't successful last night in the Dana White contender series. But people always reach out when they win, but they tend not to when they don't win. And I think it's more important. You know, I mean, we all had Brandon's back And he'll be back. I just wanted to say that. I know he's listening.
Right, so. But yesterday you called him your teammate.
He's my teammate.
You call him a teammate just now. He lost.
He's a teammate. Teammate. It's like a Marine. Once a teammate, always a teammate.
Fair enough.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines as we get ready for Fight Night 192 and welcome Empa Kasanganai. Empa, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. It's just the beginning, obviously, Wednesday, the beginning of a fight week. You've been through quite a few of these. Is it always the same every fight week, or is there something different that makes it easier to get through?
So it's cool. Yeah, I would say everyone's different, and you just have more peace about it each fight. You know, I'm like, for me, fight week's very peaceful. My dad chose me this fight. Second fight at welterweight, new challenges. Second fight with a new gym, new team, and you're starting to understand people. What's you know my new standard for myself. Being around the staff, you know, seeing a lot of people from Contender Series that when I fought on that and seeing people in the UFC staff that I've seen on a regular basis, it just becomes more and more like home, and I really, really enjoy it.
You know, I always ask all of the athletes when they come on and we talk about that this is a work trip. You know, it's not, you know, you're not going down the strip, you're not going to nightclubs, even though sometimes athletes would say, you know, they'd go out and take a walk or whatever. But to the best of my knowledge, that stuff is still not allowed. Does that make fight week also a little bit easier to go through?
In a way, yeah. So for me, it's like, this is all I've ever known. You know, for me, I came from the Contender Series, and then the second time I fought the Contender Series, it was quarantine. You fought my debut quarantine, the Abu Dhabi quarantine, back third fight in the UFC quarantine four. So this is all I really know for fight week. So it just makes it simple for me. I know some guys who fought when they were like just shows and fight nights were at venues and everything like that, but like it's a little bit different because they're used to the, I guess, kind of the fight week mayhem, the fight week excitement. But this is all I know and I love it. So yeah, it really, really helps me zone in, especially for my first four fights in the UFC. I think it's helped me find my own rhythm and my own pace. You know, like I don't have to, I love meeting people, but like I can just go straight to my room, go down, see the staff, check in, go fight, claim a victory, come back to the room, and I'm good. You know, and I start figuring myself out rather than, oh, I got to run here, I got to run here, and two different places, and you got to go, what are you doing after the fight? Like, I just, I'm getting to learn myself and grow more, and I really, really actually enjoyed these quarantine fights. You know, I'd love to be able to fight in the crowd soon, but I think this has helped me a lot in my development.
Well, you know, and like you said, you know, fans tend to forget, you know, yeah, you want to meet them. Yeah, you want to do pictures and autographs and hang out and all that, but it's work. You're not there because it's a Vegas, you know, vacation. You've got to stay mentally, physically, and emotionally prepared for what you're about to do on Saturday.
100%.
Let me ask you this. Are you still in the Charlotte area?
No, I live in South Florida now. I live in Deerfield Beach, Florida. I train out of Stanford MMA.
Okay. I was going to ask you some Charlotte food questions because I know that's...
I know my Charlotte food now. You can still ask me some Charlotte food questions.
All right. Well, I always, and Matt, you'll, you know, say that this is true. When I put these work trips together that I do, and I cover the UFC, I cover the NFL with the Bucks, I always, first I look at the event, and then I look at where do I want to go eat. I go to Charlotte three times a year. My sister lives there. Where do I need to go look for something really good to eat in Charlotte?
Okay. Oh, then there's so many good spots in Charlotte. I like, if you want like a nice dinner, nothing too crazy, a lot of people like this place called Firebird. It's really, really good. If you're in the South Park area, if you like a tapas style bar, it's called, it's going blank on it, Booyah. Super, super good. If you're uptown, you have, oh my gosh, where am I going? You have Eddie V's. You have, I'm going blank here. Man, if you want something really good.
I'll text
actually,
you.
Cajun Queen. Do you like Cajun food?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you go to the Cajun Queen. Oh, my gosh. My dad worked there when he first came to America, and that place is amazing. Nice restaurant, great food, Louisiana-style food, but just a great atmosphere. And usually, before COVID, they'd have people playing live jazz, a band that's been there since the restaurant's opened in, like, the 70s or 80s. It's amazing. Amazing food, amazing staff. Awesome atmosphere right in the downtown Charlotte, right on the outskirts of downtown Charlotte. And then you can go out and, you know, get some other stuff too. But I would definitely recommend the Cajun Queen. There you go.
Okay. I'll definitely do that. But, you know, I'm a quality and then I'm also a quantity. And my sister and my brother-in-law have, I guess it's an annual pass to, what's the amusement park there? Wild something?
Is it
World Winds, Wild Winds?
Carowinds.
Okay, Carowinds, which is an amusement park. It was funny, when we were just in Iowa, we took a photo of being in Iowa and Nebraska at the same time. I know that roller coaster goes through North and South Carolina, so it's kind of cool. Okay. But they have an annual pass. It's $100 a year where they can eat there three times a day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I want to move there just for that.
That's right. That's why I want to go after my fight, after weighing.
There you go. Let's talk about Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 192. Any thoughts on your opponent? And typically I ask it this way, how much research do you do about your opponent, or does that not even matter? Are you more concerned and worried about what you're going to do, not what he's going to be able to do or counter or whatever? Hello?
Sorry, my dad was talking. For me, when it comes to fights, my opponent, Coach Nick Lentz, he fought in the UFC for a good while.
Right.
And he gave me a lot of advice. He coaches me now. He'd be my corner this weekend. For the first week, we watch film, we study and understand what my opponent does well, see his fights, and, a lot before, just throughout that week, check it, see what he does, make points, and respect what he does and, what he's shown in his game. And obviously, hopefully he improves too as a fighter. That's what you want to do as a martial artist. And just respect what he does well. Take notes on it, see where we fit in and with our game and what our game plan and our strategy is, and then I focus on me. My focus is to become a better version of myself, a better man, better fighter, and then the main focus is imposing my will in this fight and doing what we do best.
Hey, Impa, so I'm scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, and I'm looking at the
God,
Sanford.
You're the Instagram king.
I do love Instagram.
You do.
But I'm looking at the Sanford MMA. And I'm going through and I'm seeing Gilbert Burns and I'm seeing all these like top level guys. But my question for you is, I see Luke Rockhold, recently he was at the gym. He was also talking about the hopefully getting a collective bargaining agreement together, a union of sorts for the MMA community. It's similar to basketball, baseball, football, etc. And my thoughts on it as an athlete, is that something that you support, or is it something that you still think needs more time, or you like things just the way they are?
For me, I'm growing in this, so I'm learning more. I think it's always great when athletes want to come together for the betterment of all competitors. For me, I don't know too much about it. I've seen a little bit, a few articles on it. I was just talking to my teammates about it, but I'm slightly ignorant to the fact of this, what they're trying to do. But I know that they want to organize, that we can get higher pay, more medical benefits, and I think that's super cool because I think that just pushes the sport overall, whether you see in the NBA, NFL, how a lot of people are living their lives and they can live great lives because a bunch of athletes came together for the benefit of other athletes. And I respect Luke Rockhold because he's a champion. So it's something I definitely support, and I would just like to learn more as to how I can play my role in it too.
For sure, for sure. Obviously, fighting at the Apex next week, there'll be fans at T-Mobile. Is that an adjustment as well? And I know you said that most of your fights, from the Contender Series, and then have been at the Apex. Lack of fans, no fans. I know there'll be a few fans. Is that something you kind of have to get used to? Or are you able to block everything out and just, see the guy and not the noise or the lack of?
Yeah, I know what I'm there for. For me, I love the fans, and I'm excited for that moment when I can, they're all there and we're cheering and people are screaming and going crazy. I'm looking forward to that and definitely envision that and visualize that. But for me, once I step in the cage and, even once camp starts, I'm already zoned in on what I need to do before I even get to the venue, before I even get to the next state, whether it's Vegas or somewhere else. So once I get into the octagon, I know I'm prepared. I expect it to be loud. I expect it to be whatever it is, but I know how to block it out and listen to my coaches. And when it comes time to fight, I know what I need to do.
Quick question, so the fans can get to know you a little bit more than they probably already know a little bit of you now. Dinner for four people you're going to invite over, living or passed away, real or fictitious. It can't be, guys from the gym and teammates and, that kind of stuff. Who are the four people that you're going to have dinner with?
The four people, okay. Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix, I'd like to bring one of the Wright brothers, the two of them. Is that it? Four, you said?
Yeah, four. Well, since they're brothers, we'll let that be, you know.
Okay. They can come in the package, deal. And living, got Robin Sharma, my favorite author.
Okay, awesome. Favorite movie? And you'll see why I'm asking in a minute.
Okay. Miracle, about the U.S. Olympic hockey team.
I was at, well, I wasn't at Logan Airport. I was stationed in Boston when that happened. Probably before you were born, but, you know, when the Miracle on Ice and, you know, the six came back to Logan Airport, and it definitely, you know, was a cool experience. And then, yeah, you're right, the movie is fantastic. The reason I asked you those couple things, we picked up a new sponsor. It's called Odd Sock Official. And when you have some time later, later today or tomorrow, go to their website. Tell me what some of those socks are that you want. It's, you know, they have Rocky Balboa's and Macho Man Randy Savage and, you know, really a cool website, and we always send gifts. So I'm going to send you some of those, even though I wasn't going to tell you about gifts until the end of this. But if you could do that and then let me know which kinds you want, we'll hook you up with that. How do you relax? Not necessarily fight week, but like the night before a fight or first thing in the morning Saturday.
So the night before a fight and first thing in the morning, yeah, the night before the fight is awesome because we made weight that day and I'm hanging out with my team. Very relaxed through fight week. You know, it's very like peace. So I just kind of listen to music and watch movies. I listen to a lot of worship music, and I read my Bible, a couple of chapters I like Psalm 27, Ephesians 3:20, that specific verse, Joshua 10:8, and I'll go through those verses and I'll write. I like to write a lot, sometimes in my journal, and I'll chill in my room and pray. And then as I sleep, I play worship music. And then usually my mom will call me, girlfriend, parents, and we just, you know, we sit together, we pray, and mentor. And I'm really at peace at that time. And then fight week morning, I always wake up, and I guess for North Carolina and me, I do bacon and eggs and some orange juice. It shows my fight morning routine. And I just kind of sit there by myself in the quiet, and I go for a walk. Maybe before everybody else gets up, come back, shower, and lights off in the shower, play some music again, and get ready to get after it. I love to fight, so it's like, with anything, I'm just saying, okay, be patient, it's coming, and each fight has got better, so I'm excited.
How does that switch get switched? You know, from the conversation that we've had, and we've had you on before, and, you know, you're talking about the spiritual and relaxing and being calm. How does that switch from being calm to now you're in a fist fight in the middle of an octagon, and you have to get ready to flip the switch?
Yeah, so for me, it's funny. People ask that. I guess, like, I never really thought there was a flip to switch for me. I think I'm, like, always on, ready to fight. You know, I'm like, that's how I feel, you know? And whether you say, okay, we're going to fight right now, go to the Apex, the fight's got moved to Wednesday, whatever weight you are, go fight. Like, I'm ready to fight. If you ask me to go tomorrow, I'm ready to go. For me, fights, I'm actually more calm the closer I get to a fight. So as I get in a fight, it's not like I'm actually flipping a switch to get ready. I'm more just like, okay, we're focused in. We know what we need to do. I guess, you know, we start, just want to get, when I get to the back, it's that atmosphere of the Apex, right? You're like, okay, cool. You see, like, all the legends on the wall, the fighters who do really well, the champions. You're like, I just envision myself there. See the staff, like, hey, what's up? You know what time it is? Head to the locker room. And I've visualized that moment so many times, right? And it's like, I've already been there. So for me, when I train, I always envision that I'm going to fight. Well, I go to the gym early, and I always try to go about the same, a couple, like an hour or two before the practice starts, just as if it were a fight day. My goal is to do that every day, you know, if not 4 to 5 days a week. So I'm just kind of used to that. I change the locker room, I walk into the gym at Sanford, and I get my day started. And that's always helped me. So, like, for me, it's like, it's not really a switch that I flip. For me, it's like just going there and do what I love. I'm always on. And that's been very, very helpful for me. It's not like I have to rile myself up. I don't have to get hype music. Usually I'm just listening to like salsa or, you know, like James Brown or some kind of funk music, and then I'm like, all right, let's go. And they said, MP, you ready? Ready? We walk out and I go do the work. For me too, when they start wrapping my hands, I'm like, okay, I really know it's go time. But it's never really been like a switch that I had to flip. Like any moment of the day you ask me to go fight, I'm ready to go.
That's awesome. Final question for you, Empa. What can the fans expect to see Saturday night when you get back in the octagon there in the Apex?
And the fans will see a much more refined version of myself, a, you know, coached up better, my second camp coming from Sanford, so keeping it simple with Coach Hu style, all my grappling coaches understanding where I need to be and when, imposing my will this fight, and you know, just a much more dominant fighter. A fighter's going to really go out there and attack from the get-go. Excellent movement, pace, pressure, and go claim his victory and get a finish.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck. Have fun on Saturday. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, some swag to wear, as well as the odd socks that I mentioned, and a pair of earbuds from Jabraw Electronics for coming on and talking to us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right. Have fun this weekend. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Talk soon.
All right. That is coming up, Fight Night 192. I remember Fight Night 1, but then again, I remember UFC 1.
Fight Night 15 was in Omaha 13 years ago, where your boys Houston Alexander and Clay Guida shared a card and were in attendance both.
They both were in attendance.
On Friday night.
One inside
the squared circle.
I was going to say something silly, but there was some controversy. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the main event, which, like I said, how technical that was. Mike Richmond put on
a clinic, a
boxing clinic. There is absolutely.
Then we got to talk about the collective bargain agreement, like the union, because I think I'm going to join before I come back on air next
week. Yeah, I almost slapped you when you said being an athlete, and I threw up a little in my mouth.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm joining. I want better terms for this radio show.
You know where the door is? Just like Dana's going to say to the fighters, you know where the door is? See ya.
You think he's really going to do that?
See ya. There's the door. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, I believe David Feldman will be on to talk about last week's Omaha and the upcoming Montana, which I can't wait for as well. So with that said, from the dungeon, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Franco Harris with Randy Harris on Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Jabra Elite 85T True Wireless Earbuds have been engineered with the most cutting-edge noise cancellation technology on the market to give you complete control over how you hear the world around you. It's time to level up the way you block out the world. Go to Jabra.com for more details on these and other great Jabra products and pick up a pair today.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for their premier gala, Tuxes and Tales Enchanted Scotland, on October 23rd at the Tampa Convention Center. This black tie event will feature adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk. This event sells out very early each year, so make sure to purchase your tickets and sponsorships today. Become a sponsor or purchase tickets at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around. and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is James Young from the rock band Styx, and you are talking sports with Randy Harris. Don't touch that dial.
All right, we are back live from the dungeon last week in Omaha.
Omaha,
next week in Las Vegas. A lot of trips coming up. We're going to talk about that Runza thing that we went to go do on Saturday.
Oh, that's awful.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's only available, I believe, in Nebraska. Let's welcome to the program a good friend of the show. And again, another outstanding event there last Friday night. That's the president of BKFC, David Feldman. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me again, as always. I heard what you were saying. Absolutely amazing event in Omaha. You know what goes on in Omaha? I don't know, but bare knuckle fighting went on last weekend.
You know, I know that I've told you this, the original fight with Lopez and Beltran was the one, you know, that helped kick BKFC off. I think the main event last Friday night is going to be the fight that most people are going to talk about and remember. That wasn't a brawl. That wasn't a scuffle. That was a technical boxing event that was so much fun to watch. And then we went to a boxing thing on Saturday and had to almost leave. It was so boring. Give me your thoughts, and we'll start it with the main event.
That's funny that you said that because I was watching boxing on Saturday night as well, and I was like, I can't watch this. And I wasn't being negative or derogatory towards boxing. It's hard for me to watch any other combat sport right now because it's so exciting. 11 fights, 11 finishes, nothing went past the second round. But you pegged that perfect, Randy. That main event was how I kind of described bare-knuckle fighting, the sweetest science. He kind of picked him apart, right? He caught him with a nice right hand. He dropped Dakota Cochran. He got back up, and he just destroyed his body. So, you know, by picking precision punches, not just going in there and flailing away. So I agree with you 100%. Very, very technical, very scientific, and to use those two words for bare-knuckle fighting, you know, it's just amazing.
You know, that just like we both have now said, you know, we've watched these, and I know that you and I have talked about it, and I've talked about, you know, with a lot of the fighters that come on, about the boxing, you know, angle of it, you know, and it's not just a fist fight. It's not just hit in the face, and this is the first time that I remember to this level of not only punches to the body, but devastating punches to the body. I know it wasn't fun for Dakota, but it was fun for fans to watch that type of effort being put in.
No, absolutely, and it's all part of the evolution of this sport, and now people are seeing that people are learning how to fight bare knuckle better. You know, it's not just going in there and warring. Although we saw 11 finishes, we saw some really good competitive fights up to the point of those finishes. And to show, like I said, the evolution where these guys are picking the body apart right now. And it's something that I always thought was going to happen from the beginning, but it, you know, it took a couple years for him to catch on. But right now, with picking that body apart, I think there was two fights that night that did that as well. You know, that's what you need to do. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you need to target for bare-knuckle fighting, where you're not in danger of breaking your hand or hurting your hand or doing anything like that. As you're, you know, those body shots are the kind of shots you just don't recover from. You know, you can get hit with one. My dad always taught me you can get hit with one punch and you're out on your feet. You get hit with the next punch in the head, and then you wake back up. But with a body shot, you get hit with one body shot, you took a lot of damage. You get hit with the next one, you've taken a lot more damage, and it's harder and harder to breathe.
Well, and that's the thing, Dave. I mean, there was a couple of fights ended by, you know, body shots. You had a couple of knockouts. You had a couple of fantastic finishes. It's amazing to watch. And you're right. It's I thought it was perfect. I thought it was the best event you guys have had thus far. The excitement was incredible.
And to be consistent, David, and I have to be a professional, so I have to bring up the controversy with the Houston-Alexander fight. Give me your thoughts on that. I went over and talked to Kerry, who's a friend of mine who was the referee. Give me your thoughts on that.
I mean, I get Kerry's perspective on that. He said it didn't change the outcome of the fight. The guy was already knocked out. You know, so I understand why he didn't want to do the disqualification. But just so you guys do know, in the days right after that fight, the Nebraska Athletic Commission did issue a 90-day suspension and a 25% fine on Houston Alexander for that fight. So that was what they could do because, you know, Kerry made the call. I talked to Brian Dunn, and Brian Dunn is the commissioner of Nebraska, and he said, look, I'm leaving it up to the sole arbitrator of the match. And, you know, that was Kerry Hatley, and he made the decision, and I back his decision up. I really do. Look, would I maybe have done something differently? Maybe, but I kind of really get where he was coming from. It didn't change the outcome of the fight. You know, but then you go to the next thing, what's next? Like, if he kicked him in the head, were you disqualified, and what would you have done then? You know what I mean? Like, so it's a fine line, but Kerry Hatley has refereed some of the, you know, most significant matches in mixed martial arts and in boxing, so I back him up 100%, and I, you know, he's one of my guys, and I'm, like I said, I'm going to back him up on that. I do like that the commission stood up, did issue a suspension and a fine. You know, it kind of takes us out of the equation because what happens is the fans, they don't know, you know, the regulation part of this. So they go, oh, BKFC is screwing the fighter, BKFC is doing this, and they don't know that we don't have any part or any say in that regulation. That all falls on the respective state athletic commission. But, you know, they made their decision. They came out with a suspension and a fine, and I backed that up as well.
I agree with you, and when I went over and talked to Kerry, and I told him that I respect him. I disagreed with him, and I still disagree with him. I still think it should have been a DQ, and he told me his reasons, and we won't talk about – I'll tell you what I said off the air. I won't say, you know, our conversation off the air. But what I did tell him, because he brought up, if the commission wants to fine or suspend Houston Alexander, that's on the commission. And I told Kerry Hatley, it has to be done. Or exactly like you said, you know, with what happened with Melvin in his two previous fights, there has to be some consistency. And more importantly, there has to be some penalty. And I hope Houston doesn't see me in a dark alley, but I think that
you know what, you know what, man, I talked to Houston after the fight, and he said, look, he said it was just a continual action of what I'm used to doing, down and I jump on top of it. I didn't control myself, and I told him that, you know, we don't have the ability to fine you or suspend you, but I think it's coming. And he said, look, I'm going to accept whatever penalty is handed down on me. You know, he was very nice, very respectful about it, and understood that he was going to, you know, suffer financially and get a suspension. He understood that was probably coming. You know, or if he had to be disqualified, he understood that as well. He knew he made a mistake. He didn't try to say, you know, or back out of it in any way, shape, or form. So I think that, you know, Houston is going to be very accepting to anything that's handed down to him.
I kind of was joking because I even told him that I thought it should have been DQ'd, and he was cool with the way I said it. And he knew that he did wrong, and you're right, he did take it properly. Every time that you come on after an event, I always say to you, how do you top it? And you continue to do it. Friday night was spectacular. How do you top that in Montana in, what, just over 3 weeks?
You know, it's just working with my matchmaker, Nate Shook, and just putting the most competitive matches possibly on. You know, and some people go, oh, they should make more competitive matches because there were so many knockouts. But, you know, the end of the day is all the fights were good before the knockouts. It wasn't like just one guy came out, threw a punch, and the other guy got knocked out. There were competitive wars, and then someone ended up knocking someone out. But, you know, the one thing that I said on the broadcast, and I never really hear, I don't really hear too many people complaining and going, man, that event sucked because there was too many exciting knockouts on the card. You know, they like it. And,
right,
and
for sure.
They came away with 11 great fights, 11 finishes, and how do we top it? I don't know. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk after the October 9th fight, and hopefully we can top it. But, you know, as long as you match these guys competitively and it's bare knuckle, it's hard to have a real bad fight in bare knuckle. You know, you can hit him on the side of the head. You can hit him in the cheekbone. You can do different things that just hurt. And so it's really hard to have any type of bad fight in bare knuckle. You know, we've had a few. We haven't had many. You know, in the hundreds and hundreds of fights that we had, maybe we had a handful of fights that weren't very, very competitive. But as long as we put on these competitive matchups, you know, in this very fast-paced, exciting combat sport that we launched, I think that we got a great shot of a great trajectory here.
Hey, Dave, so, you know, I had the pleasure of sitting next to you during the fights. I don't know if that was for punishment.
I was going to say, was that so you could keep your eye on him, Dave?
I don't know if I had the pleasure, Matt. No, I'm kidding.
But we know it's a violent sport. We know it's a gruesome sport. We know it's a bloody sport. But at the after party, I think I saw all the fighters there. I don't think anybody was at the hospital. I mean, do you want to talk about the safety of the sport and how, as it grows and evolves, people are understanding that it's safer than other combat sports?
You know, I never come out and say it's safer. What I always do come out and say is no more dangerous than boxing or mixed martial arts. Because, look, whenever you got two guys in there, two well-trained, experienced athletes in there, hitting each other in the head, anything can happen, and it doesn't make it safe, right? But for all the precautions we take and everything that we know from the research that we've done and all the past events that we did, we are definitely no more dangerous than boxing or mixed martial arts. And to date, from all the data that was compiled by our chief physician consultant, Dr. Don Muzzi, we do have less injuries, and that includes head trauma, facial fractures, broken noses, broken hands even. The only thing we have more of is lacerations than boxing or mixed martial arts.
And I'll tell you from a firsthand experience, after the fight, everybody came together at that same restaurant bar, and it felt like the old UFC. I mean, everybody, they just went to war, and here they are having a good time afterwards with their friends.
You know what the family. Best part of that bar was?
That you weren't there?
No, that meatloaf was killer. they made homemade meatloaf that was outstanding.
On that real quick, Matt, you know, it's hard for these guys and girls to go in there and you know, they battle in the purest form that there is to do, with bare knuckles, standing in the middle of that ring, and they bang it out, and they go to war. You know, they have a ton of respect for the other guy. It's hard not to have respect for a guy that gets in there and bangs it out with your bare knuckles in front of a crowd like that. So I think that's why they have a lot of respect for each other. And you know, I think we're one of the most respectful combat sports or combat sports promotions out there.
I talk to a lot of the athletes about that, and I tell them that I had a fist fight with my brother when either he was 18 or I was, and I still dislike him and don't talk to him. So I need to learn this from you guys and your athletes, that's for sure. Montana, right around the corner, your main event, Joe Riggs against Melvin Gallard. I'm going to hire somebody, because I'm friends with both, but I'm friends with Melvin. I'm going to hire somebody so to teach Melvin so he's aware of all the rules.
No, absolutely. You know, we're going to go over and just make sure. The one thing that I think the only thing that we probably failed to do is instill it in the fighters more than we should have in the past, or more than we did, is that, you know, because a lot of these guys are former MMA fighters. When you drop a guy, when a guy goes down, you know, because of a punch that you hit them with, you cannot jump on top of them. And you would think it's common sense, but these guys are used to doing it over and over again. So we're just going to really instill that in them so we don't have that problem anymore.
I'm going to be very careful how I word this, because I want us to stay friends. Even though they don't work for you, they work for the commission. I understand that you're going to do that with all the athletes. How do we do that with all the referees so that they know the same thing, you know, that the fighters
do? You know, Randy, we're going to do it with the referees. But you got to at least, you know, tilt to them a little bit on this fact. The action's so fast. So by the time the guy got dropped and the referee jumped in, there was already another punch thrown. I mean, they can't get in much faster than they did. But, you know, this is, like I said, it's a new sport. It's new rules and regulations that they're not used to. So it's something that we just need to instill in all the officials and in all the commissions as we're opening up these new states. See, we didn't have a lot of problems in Florida or Mississippi as of late. I mean, you're going to have one or two things that are going to happen at, you know, anywhere you do these things. But as you open up these new states, we definitely have to make sure that all the officials are schooled, you know, beyond anything else that we really focus on, and make sure that these guys know all the rules and regulations and that none of the fighters are in harm's way.
No, for sure. And I wasn't talking about Houston just now. I was still staying on Melvin, you know, because of his last two before that.
Sure.
All right, so we mentioned Riggs and Gallard in Montana. Anything else, you know, out yet? I'm sure some have been signed, but any of the other fights?
Christine Fiera is fighting a girl named Calista Perez, who just won the interim world boxing championship. So that's going to be an unbelievable barn burner. We have Taylor Starling coming back in action. She's going to fight Randy Elholm. And then we have a lot of local guys from the Montana area on the other card, former UFC fighters, former Bellator fighters, former boxers. We got a really, really stacked card on the undercard. But I think with Christine Fiera and Taylor Starling on that card, and Joe Riggs and Melvin Gallard as the main event, it's a very, very intriguing fight card.
Definitely going to be good stuff. As always, thank you for your time. Thank you for always having time to come on the show and letting Matt sit next to you, you know, in Omaha. We appreciate that as well.
Thank you, guys, always. Thanks for your support.
All right, Dave, we'll talk to you soon. That is David Feldman, the president of BKFC. And he already knows the Odd Sock people because I was going to bring it up. But I saw you took a feet photo.
I showed him I told him about the pair of Macho Man Randy socks that he was wearing in the octagon after he won, and that he was wearing Odd Socks. Dave Feldman proudly pulled up his pant leg and showed his bare knuckle boxing custom made socks. So I showed my Hulkamanias and we took a photo.
And I had my Dusty Rhodes's on.
Three wrestlers and a bare knuckler.
And I think I'm going to start wearing shorts.
So you can see the socks.
Yeah.
Or you got to wear lower shoes. Mike Richmond's boots.
I know.
Boxing. So they should make a taller Odd Sock to the knee.
I have a meeting with those guys.
Oh, okay.
Because we gave Mike three pair of Randy socks. And the one that we all thought he should wear, including him, was the ones he wore.
Yep.
The only problem, and Eric even made a comment about the boots. I'm like, boots? What are you talking about? All you saw was the top colors.
Correct.
You didn't see the Macho design. Man face.
Yeah.
Well, there was a pair with a really small Macho Man face. They are the ones that he should have wore. So we'll just make sure that when Mike fights for the title, and you know that's coming, that he'll wear the white Randy Macho Man
face. After that performance, you know he's getting a shot at it.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Spectacular finish.
I think your boy Lorenzo Hunt said when he had Mike on, you know you're calling out Tiago, right? And Mike's like, I'll call out whoever. He was so cool. And,
great guy.
We talked about the Marine, was a private
page.
I'm saying what his title was as
corporal.
Marine. Corporal. Gomer Pyle was a private.
Yes.
Right. Oh, okay. And you know how he wanted to go to what we went to, but he said that he just couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to stay focused, which is understandable.
Well, like Ifo talked about being focused for the fight, and you're there to do a job, so you tune out everything else that's going to be a distraction, whether it's photos with fans or going out to eat with your family or, you know, receiving the body of a true American hero that was coming back from being killed in Afghanistan.
I'm with you. All right, we're almost out of the 1 hour. Got a couple more minutes. Second hour, Mike Rodriguez coming up.
Hot Rod.
And Taylor Sterling coming back on. She was on from the Harley dealership.
Yeah.
Here in Tampa Bay. What was it, 3 events ago?
Hot Rod's going to be so mad at me.
No, he's not. His mom is.
His mom's going to be. But so, he's going to be mad that his mom can't get her favorite food anymore. As you are often upset with me, because you still haven't found pizza.
Not often upset.
Every day.
Yeah, every day.
But you still haven't found a replacement for Tour de Pizza yet? Like, there's nothing around here that can compare?
I got to be honest. I haven't really tried.
You have?
No, I haven't really tried. Honestly, okay. I haven't. I've gone to one place. Awful. You know that it's bad when the frozen ones were almost as good.
Wow.
Okay.
Speaking of frozen, so last night I saw a video of a guy spinning a pizza dough on fire. That guy is my boy Hockey. It's from Turkey. Known Hockey for 15 years. He has a pizzeria in New York. A little bitty place, like the size of like the dungeon. So he, Hockey started doing, he was homeless at one point in his career. And so he started feeding the homeless just as gifts. Like he would just literally make 100 pizzas and go out and just feed the
kind
people.
Kind of like you did me.
In the street, same thing. And so, but his success, so I look at his Instagram, he's got 14.2 million followers on Instagram. And I looked up your boy Portnoy as Chump, and he's got what, like 3 million followers?
I can't wait to taste his pizza.
He's an idiot.
I'm going to be tasting it.
But
I hope it's better than yours.
There's no way. Not a chance. Well, it might be because
I don't know.
Well, he's got a partner. His partner is on the US pizza team with me, Nino Caliglio. So that guy is a real pizza guy. He's a legit guy.
When I do these taste tests, like when I'm a judge for the Cuban sandwich festival, I take a bite, and then I take a bite of the next one, and then I rank 1, 2. And then I take a bite of the third one and rank 1, 2, 3. Since it's been a while since I've had your pizza, I'm thinking his frozen pizza, one bite or whatever it's called, is going to be better.
Not going to happen.
I don't remember yours.
That's not true.
It is true. I don't remember it.
Well, I'll bring it back when you get off your diet.
I'm not going on a diet.
All right. But I'll bring it back. I'll make you a special pizza.
Diets are for losers.
That's not true.
What's the object of a diet?
To lose.
To lose. Right? So, yeah, I'm gonna stay.
You could do like a 25-pound weight cut like Jay Fish. Just lose all in one day.
Yeah. Well, Hendricks did that.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Hendricks. He did our show on Wednesday and said he was 25 over and made weight on Friday. That's real healthy.
That's a brutal existence.
I don't care about brutal. That's real healthy.
It's just.
All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We're stuck with Matt for another hour. Come on back after the top and more shenanigans right here on Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
This is Mike Evans with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.